Turn with me, if you would, to 2 John, the second epistle of John, chapter 1. There's only one chapter. We are going to have a true Sunday school this morning. And for a text, we are going to use verse 9, 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine that Christ has declared in His Word. I spoke on the phone with a dear brother from another state this last week, and we were talking about TULIP. We're talking about the subject of TULIP, the doctrinal outline that is called TULIP, also known as the Doctrines of Grace. You may have heard people talk about the Doctrines of Grace. They are talking about TULIP. T-U-L-I-P, TULIP. That is the message of the Scripture. That is the outline that God has written in His Word. And this is what TULIP means. This is what it is. The T stands for total depravity. Mankind is totally depraved. Depraved means corrupted, wicked, ruined, sinful. That's what this word declares about man. All of mankind is totally corrupted. And you won't hear that out in the world. Let's all focus on the good parts and don't worry about the bad parts. Man is totally ruined. Totally ruined. Not one speck of good left. After man fell into sin, there was nothing left. No good left. Total ruin. The U stands for unconditional election. God elected. He chose some people to save from total ruin. It had to be unconditional. They were totally ruined. All were ruined. All were in the same lump of ruined corruption. So this election to salvation was unconditional on our part. There was no condition in us. No condition on us, no condition laid on us, no condition given to us that influenced the election. God just chose who He chose. Most people do believe, they honestly do believe that God voted for you and the devil voted against you and the choice is yours. That's election. That is not election. God just chose who God chose. Why did God do it that way? Because He's God. That's just how He did it. So T is total depravity. U is unconditional election. The L stands for limited atonement. Atonement means covering. Atonement means payment. It means redemption. Not one drop of Christ's blood that He shed was wasted. Not one drop. Every soul that He died for is saved. If Christ died for everybody, then not one soul would be sent to hell. If Christ died for every single man and woman on this earth, if He died for the sin of all men and women, then no men or women would stand before God in their own sin. None would be in hell. But the scriptures are clear that many have been damned to that place. Therefore, the atonement that Christ made, the payment, the redemption for sin that Christ made with His own blood, it was limited to the totally depraved sinners that the Father unconditionally chose to save. Christ died for a particular people. It's a particular redemption. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement. The I stands for irresistible grace. Totally depraved sinners don't want grace. They don't want it. They do not want it. Totally wicked sinners are not interested in the kind favor of God. Totally ruined sinners who feed on darkness and feed on evil, they reject the goodness of God. Thank God they don't have a say in the matter. Thank God we didn't have a say in the matter. That could be a wonderful title for a message preached in this pulpit. Thank God we didn't have a say in the matter. Whoever God chooses to give that salvation to, it's coming. That's the message. Now you better make sure. No, it's coming. It is coming. That cleansing wave is coming. And it will not be rejected by the recipient. It just will not be, for two reasons. Number one, it's because God is the one who is sending it. And no one and no thing can stop His hand or say unto Him, "What are you doing?" Nobody. It's coming from God. That's the first reason. The second reason is, with the gift of salvation, with the gift of payment, with that gift of redemption, comes a brand new everything. A brand new life, a brand new heart, a brand new mind, a brand new will, a brand new love, a love for God. I mean God, that was not there before. Do we still fight with the old? Yes. But a new is there fighting with the old. Before, there was no fight with the old. There was no fight at all. We were all in perfect agreement. We had this God made up in our mind, and He was weak, and I was strong, and I liked that God. But then when redemption comes, and that quickening comes, all of a sudden, it's something new. And not only do we see and trust and believe this God, we love this God. We have a brand new need given to us, a brand new desire, and that need and desire is mercy. When salvation comes, a sinner, first thing, he starts craving mercy. He needs mercy. The grace, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy that comes through the gift is irresistible. It is so irresistible to a sinner. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the P stands for perseverance of the saints. Perseverance means all the way to the end. All the way to the end. That means whatever God starts, God finishes. Whatever God starts, He finishes. God does not start the work of salvation and then leave it in the hands of a sinner to finish it. He does not do that. Now, I want to show you that in the Scripture. All right? I want us to see that in the outline of the Scripture. And I want to apply that to us personally. This will be the mind and the heart of every true believer that has been quickened to life. Number one, this is what every sinner will be convinced of. I am a sinner. When this redemption comes, when this payment comes, this is the first thing he will adamantly be convinced of. I am a sinner. Go with me over to Job 42. Job 42, God has just dealt with Job very firmly, and this is Job's response to him. Job 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He said, oh, I'm such a sinner before you. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And I'm a sinner before you. I'm so sorry. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1, David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Can you say that? My sin is always before me. It's just always. I see it all the time. Verse 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, that's all that I am. I was made in sin. I am sin. Look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Is that all, Isaiah, just unclean lips? Look at chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. I am totally ruined. Crown of the head to sole of the foot, ruined. The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Every child of God will say that. And every child of God will mean it. Truly mean it. All right, here's the second thing that a quickened child of God will be adamantly convinced of. God did all the choosing in spite of me. I would not come to Him that I might have life. I would not do it. Look with me at John chapter 3. John 3, verse 19. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I know that this flesh is naturally drawn to the things of sin. I know that it is. I know that this flesh loves darkness. I know that this flesh loves the deeds of evil. It is drawn to the deeds of evil. Therefore, had God not chosen me, I would never have chosen him. I would not have chosen him. If God does not keep me, I won't be kept. My hope starts with his unconditional election of me. Go over to Romans 9. A lady came up to an old preacher of the gospel one time. And she said to him, "You preach that election, don't you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Why do you believe that? I can't see it. I don't think I can go along with that." And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Who saved you? Did God save you or did you save yourself?" And she said, "God saved me." And he said, "Well, did he do it on purpose or was it an accident?" And she said, "He did it on purpose." He said, "That's election. God choosing to save whom he would on purpose. That is election." Romans 9, verse 11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." That's how it went. Verse 23, "That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." That's election. That's election. God choosing who he would save on purpose. This is the heart of a child of God, a truly enlightened child of God. Number one, I'm a sinner. God did all the choosing in spite of me. And number three, my only hope, all of my redemption, is in the fact that Christ laid down his life for me. That's where all of it is. His payment was a particular payment. I see that. And my only hope is that that payment was for me. Go to John 17. John 17, verse 9. Our Lord said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Christ did not come to make intercession to God for the entire world. Christ did not lay down his life for the entire world. He laid down his life for the souls that his Father gave to him out of the entire world. Not to the Jews only, but also to the Greeks. He died for the elect. He died for the elect. And a quickened child of God sees that. He sees that in the Word. It's been revealed to him. He sees his only hope as being one of the ones who was given to Christ. That's my only hope. Is that I'm one of the ones given to Christ. All of my salvation is in his blood. That's it. He knows that Christ died for a particular people, and one desire consumes him. One desire consumes the child of God, that I might be one of them. That's it, that I might be one of them. So this is what he says. Number one, I'm a sinner. God did all the choosing. My only hope is that the Father gave me to Christ and Christ laid down his life for me. So number four, I come to him. I come to him. There is literally nowhere else I can go. There is nowhere else. Is there anywhere else you can go for salvation and eternal life? There, I can't go to the law. I can't come to myself. I can't go to any preacher. There is no other priest. I have no other priest I can go to. There is nowhere else that I can go. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I come to Him. I come to Him. Look with me at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Verse 1, it says, "As the hart, as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That is irresistible grace. That is irresistible grace. In Psalm 17, verse 15, David said, and I love this, Psalm 17, 15, he said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." That's irresistible. That's when I'll be satisfied, when I awake with your likeness. In John 6, the Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." They're all coming. They will all. It's irresistible grace. Why will they come? Number one, the Father's drawing them. But number two, they can't help it. They've been given a heart that cries, "I must have Christ. I must have Christ. I come to Him. I am a sinner. God did all the choosing. My only hope is that the blood of Christ was shed for me. So I come to Him because in Him I am eternally safe. I am eternally safe. In Christ I am kept by the power of God. Every soul in Christ is and will forever be kept by the power of God. And every soul in Christ rests in that promise. They truly do rest. They rest. Every quickened soul is persuaded of this. And we'll close with this right here. All right, go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Every persuaded soul, every quickened child of God is convinced of this right here. Philippians 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If God started it, God will finish it. He'll finish it. But I'm still so bogged down by my sin. I know, but God will finish it. If God started it, He'll perform it all the way until the day of Christ. And He'll finish it all the way to the end. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you're dismissed.